You are listening to Pandora's Box Radio with Kalia LaRoche. For more information about my products and services, counseling, coaching, hypnotherapy, books, and audios, please visit narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. Hello, and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today, the topic of our show is, what does it mean to connect with God, the divine within? I know that many people don't like to use the word God, especially if you grew up in a religious family where the word God was used to judge you, to make you feel guilty, and cause you to fear the consequences of living a life that is less than holy. Some may rather use the words source, divine, or universe to describe God. And when we use these terms, it may feel like God is less a person and more an energy or life force that resides within us. It doesn't really matter what terminology that we use to describe this thing called God. We're talking about the same thing. It's the same life force energy that moves through all living things. It's the force that gives us life on this physical planet, but it's also the life force that continues to exist outside of the body. Some people don't believe that this life force continues to exist once we take our last breath. There was a study done by Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. to get a general consensus on how many people in the United States believed in God. And the most recent study was done in 2014 and is based on a telephone interview with more than 35,000 Americans from 50 states. In this study, 63% had an absolute belief in God. 20% were fairly certain there was a God, 5% not very certain or not at all certain about the existence of God, 3% said they didn't really know if they believed in God, and 9% said that they did not believe in God. Although the study was just looking at U.S. beliefs in a higher power, these results can vary from country to country. In the U.S., over 80% of those interviewed had a belief in a higher power. Believing in a higher power has nothing to do with religion. Many believers are not religious, but are spiritual in nature. And when I say spiritual and not religious, I'm talking about the part of the population who don't follow a certain religion or dogma, but still have a belief in a higher power. People who are more religious in nature may have a more personalized idea of God, meaning that they view God more as an entity than an energy. And people who are more spiritual and less religious are more likely to view God as an energy or force than an entity or being. As I move forward and talk about connecting with God or the divine, it doesn't matter if you are religious or spiritual in your beliefs. This podcast may be helpful for you. The important thing is that you're willing to consider that this thing we call God is not a force outside of you. It's a force within you. Although it also resides outside of you and within all living things, it also resides within you. I like to look at God as the life force within me that came into my body when I was born and will leave my body when I die. My body is just a shell or an avatar that houses my spirit, my consciousness, the life force within me. In seeing things this way, I'm not my body. However, I'm subject to my body's needs, wants, and desires. My body is a sophisticated system with a conscious and subconscious mind, a nervous system, an ego, a reproductive system, and organs that function automatically to keep the physical body alive. I believe that the spirit within me is the same spirit that is within all living things. This is the living spirit of God itself, the universal life force energy that gives life to all. This means that the Spirit of God dwells within everyone regardless of their belief in a higher power and regardless of their choices towards what they call good, bad, right, or wrong. Those we see as evil are God in human form, and this can be difficult to understand because so many of us see God as good. When we see God as good, we have to create an anti-God or an anti-Christ energy that we call the devil, Satan, or evil to represent the darkness on the planet. We live on a planet of duality where everything has its opposite. Where there's good, there's bad. Where there's love, there's hatred. Where there is rich, there is poor. Duality helps us to understand something on a greater level. We wouldn't truly understand love if we didn't experience its opposite. Now, I've been a spiritual student the majority of my life and have asked so many of the important questions we have about God and evil. I do believe that God in its pure form is good. It is by nature a benevolent energy. However, we live on a planet of free will, and we can choose our actions and behavior. The more we align with our good nature, the closer we are to God. Our hearts are more open. We feel more love and connection with our fellow man and woman, and we have greater compassion and empathy. The more we align with our dark nature, the more closed off we are to God, and the more our choices reflect evil or hateful actions and behavior. Many religions have tried to control the behavior of the masses by promising either a dark or light afterlife. A belief in heaven and hell kept people in line. If they feared going to hell, they would do their best to be good citizens. The major problem with this belief in heaven and hell as a place where we go after death is that the energy of fear drives the quest to be good. Instead of feeling a desire to be good because it feels like the right thing to do, because it feels good, many choose a path of good out of a fear of consequence. There's a tendency to project our relationships with a primary mother or father onto God. If we had a punishing parent who was big on the punishment reward system, we may have learned to be good for fear of the painful consequences dished out by a parent. We project this onto God in fear that God will send us to hell, judge us, and condemn us if we are not good. In my spiritual belief system, heaven and hell are not places we go after death. They're states of consciousness that we live now. Who hasn't felt that their life was a living hell at one time or another? And who hasn't experienced the blissful states of heaven? With God being the creative force of the universe, and we embody this creative force, we often underestimate our ability to create our reality. We create with our thoughts, our beliefs, our emotions, and our actions, but we also create with our fear. We may create our experiences of the afterlife from what is embedded in our consciousness, which may be much closer to why we want to choose actions and behavior that make us feel good about ourselves. The better we feel in our own skin, the higher our energetic vibration, and the more positive experience our soul will have in the body and out of the body. I've done a ton of research on near-death experiences, and there's a lot of similarities that people experience once they leave their body. Now and then, someone might report having a very negative or dark experience, but the majority of stories I've heard report having a very beautiful and positive experience of being in the presence of the most powerful love that they've ever experienced. In fact, part of the trauma suffered by those who have had near-death experiences is trying to integrate the knowledge of the experience of having entered the most loving and blissful state of consciousness to the experience of being back on Earth, where feeling that degree of love is rare. People report that when they feel that pure love, they want for nothing. There's nothing to want for. All their needs are fulfilled. They're content to just hang out in that blissful place of love. But when they return to their bodies, they experience this density, the physical pain, the emotional pain, the human disconnect, and the limitations of being human. I've had glimpses into entering this pure state of love through a past life hypnosis session where I experienced myself in a resting state between lives. I was resting in the state of pure love and bliss, and I wanted for nothing. When the hypnotherapist tried to move me past that experience, I told her to just let me rest here a while. I just wanted to stay in that vibration of love and bliss. There was no place else that I wanted to go. I also experienced this divine state of love and bliss when I ingested a drug called MDMA for therapeutic purposes. And it was meant to help me to move through some of my deeper issues back when I was going through my dark night of the soul. And in that session, I moved from a powerful state of fear that overtook me when the medicine kicked in to purging all of the negativity to entering that state of pure love. The majority of my session was hanging out in that bliss state. My facilitator wanted me to take more of the MDMA in order to help to bring up the issues that I was struggling with, but I refused. I said, there's no other place to be than where I am. I came to realize that all the issues I experienced in my life were ego and fear-based issues. Once the ego collapsed, there weren't any other issues. When I hit that wall of fear and started purging, my ego was experiencing a death and it was trying to hold on. But the MDMA had a powerful effect on me. It ripped away these barriers. It ripped away the ego. And this is what I understand happens with the majority of plant medicines that people partake of, including ayahuasca and peyote. What typically happens on these journeys is that the ego experiences a death. It's the ego's role to keep the body alive, so it fights pretty hard to avoid the death. And the fear of death can be powerful for many experiencers. I know it was for me with my MDMA experience. Many spiritual beliefs don't believe the ego survives our physical death, which is probably why so many people experience these blissful states of love once they cross over. This blissful state of entering the highest vibrations of love are the heavenly realms. The further away we are from divine love, the more hellish our lives feel. It has to do with energy vibration. How high are you vibing? The lower your vibration, the more fear and pain you are in. If fear is a product of the ego and we drop our ego at the point of death, it wouldn't make sense that we would have a fearful experience after physical death. And most people don't. Most people who have near-death experiences report having no fear, even when they realize that they are no longer in the body. However, those who experience the hell realms after death are dealing with lower vibrational states of consciousness. This podcast isn't about what happens after we die. It's about what is happening to us while we are living and how to access higher states of consciousness now. Spiritual practice is important in learning to access higher states of love and connection. We need to embark on a daily practice. Now, there's not one practice that I'm going to tell you that you need to do. You simply need to find a practice that works for you. This may include meditation, some form of yoga, prayer, conscious breathing, or immersing yourself in nature. There's no right or wrong here. I feel that learning to dialogue with God is a great way to connect. I like to write Dear God or Dear Universe letters in my journal, and this helps me to get to the core of what I'm really feeling in relationship to the divine. I may be feeling lost, disconnected, abandoned, or betrayed by God because I have expectations that aren't being met. And when we expect God to play a certain role in our lives and we aren't getting the results, we often lose faith and feel God has somehow turned his or her back on us. It's usually the other way around. We are the ones who turn our back on God, or rather, we may close our heart and close ourselves off from the divine. In times like this, we feel disconnected and shut down. In order to reconnect, we need to examine our expectations of God. What do we believe God should do for us? And what do we believe we need to do in order to get God to do something for us? Many people believe God is supposed to monitor the good and the evil of the world and dish out punishment to the evildoers and reward for the good. God is cast in the role of the Lord of Karma. Many believe that when we pray, we're making a request of God and should fully expect this request to be fulfilled. Many go to God when they're in pain and suffering and ask God to take away their suffering. We often believe that if we are a child of God, then the all-powerful, almighty God will take care of us and not allow us to get hurt, to suffer, and to have this horrible loss that so many of us experience, especially when loved ones die or we go through the death of a relationship. I would encourage you to start a God journal and write down your expectations of God so that you can see them right there in front of you. What do you believe that God should do for you? The next thing is to consider how your psychology and your spirituality dance together. Your psychology will consider what your actual beliefs are. And according to Bruce Lipton, who authored the book called The Biology of Belief, your biology also is influenced by your beliefs. So what you believe is important. This is why it's important to pay attention. Sometimes prayer works for us because we believe that it will work. And sometimes prayer doesn't work for us because we really don't believe it will work. There's a saying in the Bible, quote, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours," end quote. What this is saying is that the results of your prayer have more to do with your faith or belief than it does with the prayer itself. The law of attraction tells us that we must believe that the things we ask for are already on its way to us, or even believe that we already have it. Act as if the thing we want is already here. Now, if we throw our unhealed core wounds and beliefs into the mix, we have a deep subconscious reason that we're not getting the thing we want. For example, if you want love in your life and love's not showing up, you may have a core belief that you are unworthy or undeserving of love, that you aren't lovable. So if you ask for love but you don't believe that you deserve it, your belief will sabotage your request. One surefire way to know if your core beliefs are sabotaging you is to look at the state of your life right now. What do you feel that you're lacking in? Are you struggling with the lack of money, love, or health? The current lack may be showing you your core beliefs. If I don't believe I'm truly a good person, then why would I believe that God would answer my prayers? If I believe I'm unworthy at the core, it would make sense that this unworthiness might translate into, I'm not worthy of love, money, or good health. It's no accident that the law of attraction, core belief work, and spirituality tend to find their way into the lives of spiritual seekers. People who are on a spiritual growth path may recognize that God is not an entity that fulfills our every wish like a fairy godmother. Instead, it's recognized that God is an energy that responds to belief and vibration. Fear is another factor in what shows up in our lives. Fear is a very powerful energy that is highly attractive. The more we fear a thing, the more magnetic our fear becomes. It draws into our reality the very thing that we fear the most. If we fall in love but fear our love partner will betray us, abandon us, reject us, or break our heart, our fear itself will draw this reality to us. If we fall in love and believe that our beloved really loves us and cares about us, we'll be much more relaxed in that relationship and likely to have a much more loving relationship. If we fear our business will fail, we're sending the energy of failure into the cosmos and drawing failure to us. The more we nurture our fear, the more powerful our fear becomes. The more we consciously connect to the divine, to our idea of God, to this universal life force, and believe that we are co-creators or partners with this powerful force, the more positive our experience will be. Because as a partner, a co-creator, you have responsibility. Your responsibility is to examine your thoughts and beliefs and take right action. Your responsibility is to listen to divine guidance and act accordingly. The more we can recognize that God is not something outside of us that we need to appeal to, but rather a force within us that we need to partner with and work with, the more connected we will feel. The truth is, we are already connected. We can't not be connected because we are one with God. We're not separate from God, but we feel separated sometimes. We feel disconnected. And this is because we're not putting into our daily lives a practice of tapping in and tuning into the divinity within us. We may still be looking at God as a fast food restaurant that we can drive through, put our order in, and have it delivered in minutes. What we might pray for instead of the result we are looking for is for the clarity to see what is getting in our way of having this result. We can pray for the understanding as to why we manifest this illness or this pattern of behavior. And once we get clarity as to why we've manifested the unwanted thing in our lives, we can pray for the ability to overcome that obstacle. It's much easier to believe in our ability to find a root cause of an issue and to overcome obstacles than it is to believe something will just be handed to us. Instead of praying for money, for example, we might pray for the clarity to see what our blocks are to receiving an abundance of money in our lives. As a result of this prayer quest to find the blocks, we may discover that we have a belief that we have to work really hard for money, or that money is the root of all evil, or we don't deserve great wealth. We can then take the discovery and ask that we release these beliefs that are standing in the way of our abundance. One may pray for $100,000 but not really believe that kind of money is just going to show up in their lives. But they can look at why they don't believe that kind of money can just show up in their lives. And then pray that these limiting beliefs be removed and they are open to receiving a large flow of money. When we can engage in prayer, meditation, journaling, conscious breathing, and other things that help us to feel connected to the divine, we will feel that we are more partnered with God than at His mercy. I would like to quickly break down three different methods of connecting with the divine. One is prayer. Prayer is the act of asking for the thing you want. But the best way to pray is not to say, "Dear God, please bring me more money or good health or that great relationship." It's better to say, "I am now manifesting great abundance, health, or a loving relationship." You make your request in partnership with the divine. Some believe it is even better to say, "I now have great health or abundance. However, the issue with this is most people won't believe that they now have this thing because they really don't. And so their lack of belief will sabotage them. It's better to say, I am now manifesting into my life the thing that you want, and believe that having the thing is entirely possible for you. Now, a great book on prayer is called The Lost Mode of Prayer by Greg Braden. Number two is meditation, and meditation is the act of listening. So where prayer is asking, meditation is listening. It's about entering the silence. Be still and know that I am God. This is where we listen to the still, small voice within that may guide us to take a particular action in our life. Meditation is also a practice in mindfulness, to observe our thoughts and not get attached to them. It can be an opportunity to practice releasing thoughts and focus on our breath or on a mantra. But mostly it's about learning how to be quiet and sit still. We can also meditate by walking in nature and be in a quiet, reflective place. Number three is conscious breathing, which is also an excellent form of meditation. Conscious breathing is when you engage in a practice of breathing in and out at a particular rate, focusing only on the breath. This practice of breathing can bring up blocked emotions and release them. It can clear out the energy of the monkey mind because you're so focused on the intensity of conscious breathing that you can't focus on anything else. As a result of breathing like this for 20 or 30 minutes or more, you may enter a deeply connected place of peace and love. This is because you're releasing all the unwanted thoughts and emotions through the breath and oxygenating your body to the point where you're really entering an altered state. Another method that I'm big on is hypnotherapy. I've been a hypnotherapist for over 30 years and know its power to bring about change by implanting suggestions into the subconscious mind. Hypnotherapy is also a great form of relaxation. Many of my clients tell me they don't remember the last time they felt this relaxed. So when we're deeply relaxed, we can also feel much more connected. So hypnotherapy can be used when you're really feeling blocked and you need some help to discover your blocks and remove them. I can't recommend this therapy enough. That's why I've been doing it for 30 years. And just a reminder, I can do this on the phone very successfully. So if you'd like to reach out for a session, I'm happy to work with you. If you practice one or more of the methods that I've talked about, you will begin to notice a positive shift in your life. But you need to be diligent and do this on a daily basis, not just when crisis hits or when you think about it. It's important to get into a routine and stick with it. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me through my websites at narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. If you're interested in a hypnosis session to help you connect to the breath and to the divine, I just released a self-hypnosis audio download that you can get today at a discounted rate. This self-hypnosis program combines deep breathing, meditation, prayer, and positive programming in one session. For those looking for a more guided experience, this program will guide you through the process of relaxation and reprogramming your subconscious mind to not only feel your connection with God, but to live your life more connected. This is a great program for spiritual healing and reprogramming negative core beliefs that are attached to your spiritual beliefs. So this is a type of hypnosis that you can do yourself just by listening to this audio. And listening to this audio on a daily basis also is a practice that you can get into that will help you. All you have to do is turn on the program and just let yourself be guided. You can get this program by visiting narcissismfree.com and click on self-hypnosis audios at the top of the page, and you will see my program. It's called Finding God, Connecting to the Divine. Now, for those of you listening today, I'm offering a 25% discount on this product for my podcast listeners. If you type in I am love, all in one word with a capital I, just add the product to your shopping cart and follow the prompts. I am love is the code to get the 25% discount. Now I want to thank you so much for listening today. Be well and much love to you. I'll see you next time.